From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, August 13th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hear yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and just one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started officially with
the Daily Denogram.
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, the world is a stage, and most of us are desperately unrehearsed. Boy, that's a truth. And unfortunately for us all, we have so many bad actors.
Well, I'm officially bored to tears.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Show some respect.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
Sure, right. What are the odds of that? Well, kids, it was on this day in 1918. BMW was established as a public company in Germany. The company was dedicated from day one to more expensive engineering and higher repair bills. It's become a tradition with them. And it was on this day in 1969, the Apollo 11 astronauts enjoyed a ticker tape parade in New York City. That evening at a state dinner in Los Angeles, they were awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Richard Nixon. Imagine that. New York in the morning, L.A. in the evening, after having just returned from the moon. Gee, you think they might have been just a little jet and rocket lagged?
You know, before this is over, I'm going to need a whole lot of serious therapy.
I've always said that plagiarism is the sincerest form of flattery. Of course, when I say that with tongue in cheek, of course. But I am finding out that with this Kamala Harris campaign now, such as it is, this is more entertainment than it is real politics. Well, it's a smattering of both, maybe even in equal doses, 50-50. You know, 50% entertainment, 50% real politics. There are pressures on Kamala, of course, to win, because now she is the presumptive nominee. And again, we haven't had the convention yet. So anything could happen at the convention, but come on, she's going to be the nominee. And think about it. This is a woman who really did sleep her way to the top. You know, let's not forget about former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown. I mean, this is, it's not a slam against her. It's a truth. That's all it is. It's a truth. So anyhow, let's get to the matter of the plagiarism. I want to play for you some audio. As you know, about 2 weeks ago, Donald Trump proposed abolishing tax on tips for hospitality workers and restaurant workers, right? It was very well received. Well, over the weekend, Kamala Harris was in Las Vegas and speaking to, I was going to say a room full of hospitality workers, but it really wasn't a room full. We're going to talk about all the empty seats here in a minute, but and the seats were empty. But Kamala just ripped a page right out of Donald Trump's playbook. Here is the audio.
Because when I get to office, we are going to not charge taxes on tips, people making tips.
Listen to that crowd. How about it?
On tips for service and hospitality workers.
Wow, listen to that crowd. They liked Donald Trump's idea so much, they even loved it when Kamala Harris plagiarized it and repeated it. Wow. Well, how about that crowd in Las Vegas? You know, you have to wonder, were they cheering Donald Trump's idea? Of course they were cheering the idea. It wasn't Kamala's idea. It was a ripoff. Is that what we can expect from Kamala? Well, of course, because she is whatever the crowd she is addressing wants her to be. That's been established. That's been her modus operandi for a long time. But let's talk about the crowd there in Vegas. You know, these big arenas, they have huge curtains that can be dropped from the ceiling to cordon off a quarter, a third, a half of the arena. And this is to accommodate certain shows And that's what they had to do over here in Vegas. They had to cordon off a huge section of the arena because she couldn't fill the place. Wow. So, is her candidacy a fraud? Well, of course it's a fraud. She is not presidential material. She is not now. She never has been. She never will be presidential material. Then again, Joe Biden wasn't presidential material given the state of his mental capacities. And yet, here we have now candidate for the Democrat Party in November, a person who helped conceal Joe Biden's mental infirmities. You know, I don't know how that sits with you. I don't know how it sits with anybody else, but it really makes me kind of uncomfortable. I guess we should be comforted in the knowledge that the deep state is in control of the government, which the deep state includes people like Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama. And I like to say Michelle Obama, but she has no place in this. She really has no part in it. She doesn't like politics. She's just along for what she can get out of it. But, you know, I would love to blame her for a lot of stuff, but I can't, you know, not if I'm going to remain honest. And I prefer to remain honest. But here we have this candidate for president in November on the Democrat ticket, who has no more business being there than any of my great-grandchildren. And they're little. They're very little. So, you know, what can be done about this? Well, just expose her. That's all. That's what happened over the weekend. They exposed her and for the fraud that she is. And I don't know, but if I were a betting man, I'd say she's going to continue to do this right up until Election Day. And it will have its price. I really, truly cannot believe how disingenuous the left is. I don't know if you heard about this. This too also hit over the weekend. I really wanted to tell you these stories yesterday, but just, you know, there's just so much that I can do in a 30-minute program. Anyhow, the Culinary Workers Union in Nevada endorsed this plan by Kamala Harris to end taxes on tips for service workers, okay? Again, let me remind you, it was 2 weeks earlier Donald Trump first proposed this, okay? And during this rally in Vegas on, Saturday, Harris said that she would back ending taxes on tips if elected president. She says, it's my promise to everyone here. When I'm president, we'll continue our fight for working families of America, including to raise the minimum wage and eliminate taxes on tips for service and hospitality workers. Again, raise the minimum wage. We have already seen what that has done to California, right? Look at all the fast food restaurants that are leaving California. They're boarding them up in the San Francisco Bay Area. You've got, and those who haven't boarded up have fired a lot of their people, because now they're finding automation that's available to do what the restaurant workers used to do. Well, anyhow, the Culinary Union urged other elected leaders to support efforts by Harris toward this goal, but neither the union nor Harris mentioned that Trump had proposed part of the same plan. So here's how it shook out. On June 9th, Trump announced for the first time that if reelected, he would end taxes on tips for service workers. Okay, so it was more than 2 weeks ago. He said, for hotel workers and people who get tips, you're going to be very happy because when I get to office, we're going to not charge taxes on tips, people making tips. You know, I love Donald Trump's policies, but man, when he gives these ad-lib speeches, to me, it's like nails down a chalkboard. But then again, George W. Bush did that to me, too. I always used to worry that if the script blew away in the wind, would George W. Bush be able to finish his speech? I don't worry about that with Donald Trump. It's just that the disjointed way in which he speaks, the way he puts sentences together. But face it, the man is a savant. He didn't get to become the guy that he is by being an idiot. So he's not an idiot. But anyhow, he said he would do this right away, first thing in office. Now, Trump afterward expanded on that plan in a post on Truth Social, saying that he hoped that union and blue-collar workers would support him later this year. Well, the Culinary Union was quick to release a statement condemning Trump's proposal as a wild campaign promise. Oh, yeah. Culinary Union Secretary Treasurer, a guy by the name of Ted Papageorge, said on June 9th, immediately following Trump's unveiling of this idea, this guy, Papageorge, says, "For decades, the Culinary Union has fought for tipped workers' rights and against unfair taxation. Relief is definitely needed for tip earners, but Nevada workers are smart enough to know the difference between real solutions and wild campaign promises from a convicted felon." Now, the people at Epoch Times tried to get in touch with this guy or somebody who was willing to speak on behalf of the Culinary Union, but there was nobody available. Nobody available for comment, naturally. So securing an end to taxes on tips would be a tall order for either candidate, really, because doing so is going to require, that inconvenient little truth called passage of a tax legislation, including provisions to alter how the IRS classifies tips. That's a very big order. I mean, this is bureaucracy on a level that no mere mortals are capable of tackling. I mean, you've got to be super mortal, supernatural, superhuman to be able to do this. Could it be done? Yes, it could. But wow, what a tall order. So, you know, for instance, during Trump's first term in office, the Republican-controlled House and Senate passed an important revamping of the tax code. And basically, it cut both corporate and individual rates. And under that bill, corporate rate cuts were made permanent, while cuts to the individual tax rate are temporary and going to expire next year. All the more reason to vote for Trump. Now, Trump has said that passing a comprehensive new tax bill, I love that word, comprehensive, but he said that passing a comprehensive new tax bill would require a key focus on his part. So Democrats have also expressed interest in passing new tax legislation. Many of their proposals, though, focus on weighting the tax code more heavily against the very wealthy. And they've tried that before. And I mean, the very wealthy pay what? Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe 2% of the nation's taxes. So, I mean, if you're going to increase the tax rate on wealthy people, all you're going to do is you're going to prod wealthy people to leave the country. That's what they'll do. They'll find a cheaper place to go. Some may go to Mexico. Some may go to, you know, somewhere else. Some may go to a place far more exotic because they have the means with which to do it. So all of this talk from the left about, well, we're going to increase the taxes on America's wealthiest people because they're not paying their fair share. Well, true, they may have certain tax shelters. If you want to change the tax code, maybe that's where it ought to be done, with tax shelters. But, you know, to hit the wealthy people to the tune of, what is it that they're taxing them in France? 75%. I mean, it's not even going to be a drop in the big bucket here in our nation's finances. But I just wanted to point out for you the disingenuous attitude on the left. Culinary Workers Union out there in Nevada, criticizing Donald Trump for proposing the plan, but loving it when it came out of Kamala's mouth. And why not? It comes out of her mouth in stereo because she speaks out of both sides of her mouth. I want to read something to you from Axios, which is a far left-wing publication. Here's what they wrote. Vice President Kamala Harris in Nevada on Saturday promised to eliminate taxes on tips 2 months after former President Trump promised to do the same. Why it matters. Their rare point of agreement underscores the bipartisan popularity of the novel piece of economic policy. Then they're quoting her. It's my promise to everyone here when I'm president, we will continue to fight for working families, including to raise the minimum wage and eliminate taxes on tips for service and hospitality workers. Harris told a crowd of 12,000 people in the University of Las Vegas or University of Nevada in Las Vegas on Saturday. This was a Trump idea. Now, this is what Axios says. This was a Trump idea. She has no ideas. She can only steal from me, Trump wrote on Truth Social, accusing Harris of taking the position for political purposes. All right, that came from Axios. I'm surprised they reported it, but they did, so you got to give them credit for that. Now, Harris didn't always believe in putting an end to taxes on tips for service workers. This is the point I'm trying to make here with this little segment. In fact, up until now, she's done just the opposite. For instance, just last year, in her role as vice president, she led the charge on an IRS plan to enforce the reporting of tips. Now, a fellow by the name of James Blair pointed this out on X, saying, now's a good time to remind everyone that copycat Kamala's administration rolled out a new enforcement program just last year to collect more taxes on tips. She could stop it now, but she won't because she's a dishonest fraud. Well, it's kind of redundant, right? Dishonest fraud. But she is. She is a fraud. So, let me see if I can put this together here for you out of some notes. Here's what the IRS says in their own words about the tip reporting program. The Treasury Department and Internal Revenue Service today issued Notice 2023-13, which contains a proposed revenue procedure that would establish the Service Industry Tax Compliance Agreement, also known as SITCA. And it's a voluntary tip reporting program between the IRS and employers in various service industries. The IRS is assuming this guidance in proposed form to provide an opportunity for public comment. The proposed program is designed to take advantage of advancements in point of sale, time and attendance systems, and electronic payment settlement methods to improve tip reporting compliance. The proposed program would also decrease taxpayer and IRS administrative burdens and provide more transparency and certainty to taxpayers. The proposed program includes several features: the monitoring of employer compliance based on actual annual tip revenue and charge tip data from an employer's point of sale system, and allowance for adjustments in tipping practices from year to year. Participating employers demonstrate the compliance with the program requirements by submitting an annual report after the close of the calendar year, which reduces the need for compliance reviews by the IRS. Participating employers receive protection from liability under the rules that define tips as part of an employee's pay for calendar years in which they remain compliant with program requirements. Participating employers have flexibility to implement employee tip reporting policies that are best suited for their employees and their business model in accordance with the section of the tax law that requires employees to report tips to their employers. Now, honestly, does that sound very much like protecting the worker to you? You know? Again, and this has been said time and time again by numerous people, Kamala Harris is whatever you want her to be. And it's only determined about the crowd she's speaking, or by the crowd that she's speaking to. Okay? You want her to be a Southern Belle? That's what she's going to be when she speaks to a crowd in Atlanta. She'll take on the Southern accent, phony as it is. You want her to be a champion for the working people? That's what she's going to be if she speaks to a labor union. And she's even so intent on appearing to be on your side that she'll lie to you. She'll even plagiarize somebody else's ideas. Man, And then, are you familiar with Terrence K. Williams? Terrence is a black stand-up comic. And boy, I mean, you talk about a conservative. I love this. He tweeted, Kamala Harris is a fraud. I still can't believe she stole Trump's no tax on tips proposal. Kamala stole a black woman's southern accent. Kamala stole a married man. Kamala stole Joe Biden's nomination. Kamala stole Trump's no tax on tips proposal. I love this. And he's right on the money. Right on all points. She's a thief. And the reason she thieves ideas is because she has no ideas of her own. And then he says, what is she going to steal next? Well, God only knows. Our Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, back on Sunday ordered the deployment of the USS Georgia guided missile submarine to the Middle East amid mounting tensions between Israel and Iran. Now, the Pentagon said that Austin gave the instruction after speaking with Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, during which he reaffirmed the U.S. commitment to take every possible step to defend Israel. Now, in addition, he also ordered the USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier Strike Group to speed up its transit to the Middle East after their earlier deployment. And all of this has been confirmed to a readout issued by the Pentagon. So there's no leakers, nothing like that. The Abraham Lincoln was already set to replace the USS Theodore Roosevelt, which is currently deployed in the Middle East, but Austin asked to accelerate its transit. Now, during their time, yeah, you can assume why, okay? But during their talk, Austin told Gallant that Washington was strengthening its military force posture and capabilities throughout the Middle East in the wake of the escalating regional tensions. Now, I don't know if in using that term regional tensions, he's also including what's going on in Ukraine, but the two discussed Israel's operations in Gaza and the importance of mitigating further civilian harm. They also discussed progress toward securing a ceasefire deal with Hamas and the release of hostages, as well as their efforts to deter the Iranian Islamic regime's aggression. Now, Iran wants to pick a fight. There's no doubt about it. And once they get the nuclear weapon, which they haven't got it yet, but they will. They'll have it, and they'll have it soon. And once they get that thing, then you watch Iran's leadership. Now, the Pentagon said a week earlier that they were going to deploy more fighter jet squadrons, destroyers, and cruisers capable of ballistic missile defense, all of that going to the Middle East to mitigate the possibility of regional escalation by Iran. That's right out of their little press release. Now, the United States was concerned of a possible escalation following the killing of Ismail Haniyeh, who's the political leader of the Hamas terrorist organization. He was killed in Iran on July 31st. Now, Iran naturally blamed Israel for his killing, although Israel hasn't claimed responsibility. A fellow by the name of Matthew Miller, spokesman for the State Department, said last week, this was on August 5th, that Washington has urged Tehran through diplomatic channels not to escalate tensions in the Middle East, warning that doing so would go against the interests of Iran or anyone in the region. And he made the remarks following Antony Blinken. You remember him? He's the Secretary of State. After Blinken's discussion with Qatari Prime Minister Al-Thani and Egyptian Foreign Minister Abdelati about tensions in the Middle East. Now, Miller said the United States had been communicating with all the relevant parties in the region to make clear that escalation is in no one's interest and asking that people use their diplomatic relationships to make that clear to others in the region. He said, I would expect that some of them would pass that message along and impress that point upon the government of Iran. Well, the problem is the leadership in Iran. I'm not talking about the Iranian people. The Iranian people want an end to this just as much as you and I do. And they want an end to their current leadership. But unfortunately, their leadership is religious. It's radically Islamic. And when you are motivated by religion, particularly a radical religion like their brand of Islam, and you can find, it's not hard to find people within Islam who will tell you this. They don't think rationally. They're powered by one thing and one thing only, and that is religious emotion. I explained the other day how the Iranian leadership sees themselves. And they see themselves in the context of writings within the Quran. So, I don't know. As far as diplomatic outreaches, I wouldn't expect anything along those lines from Iran. Now, this guy Miller didn't say definitively whether or not Washington's messages have been disseminated to Iran or through which channel. But the U.S. and Iran have had no formal diplomatic relations since 1980. Hence this. Well, and you know, when I see stuff like that, reminders that we've had no diplomatic relations with Iran since 1980, and I think about the pallets of cash that Barack Obama gave to Iran, then, you know, and yeah, it was Iranian money, but it was Iranian money that was seized by us, and for good reason. It just, you know, makes me grit my teeth. My dentist says, you grind your teeth, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, I do. You do that in your sleep? I don't think so. But I don't know, this dropping of the diplomatic relations with Iran in 1980, that came about because of the Iranian takeover of the U.S. embassy in Tehran back in 79. And what did we have, 52 hostages there in that deal? And they were released as soon as Ronald Reagan became president, and you can read into that whatever you want. Let's move on over to the Comedy Corner and the very funny Drew Thomas.
I thought about you guys a lot. I said, the married people stuck at home, I want to be like them. I envy these guys. Some of you don't even dress yourselves anymore. You just wear the next clean shirt. I want that. Then I'm like, where do you go to find this wife? You can go to clubs or bars. I don't like going to nightclubs. Nightclubs are filled with single mothers and liars. There's a lot of single mothers in the club, and overall, single mothers are doing a good job, but the world is crazy, and you need to wait a while before you introduce these guys you're dating to your kids. I went out with this single mother two times. I'm at work. The school called me to come pick up her son. You can't put my name on the list to come pick up your son. I only seen this dude two times in the dark at your house. They wear uniforms now. They got the same little haircut. I might pick up the wrong kid. Now this dude is on my backseat wheezing. I don't need that. But I'm scared. I'm not afraid to admit it. Marriage is a major decision. How many times in your life do you want to lose half your stuff? And I'll share with you what scares me the most. What scares me the most about marriage is the fact that men and women don't even look at marriage the same way. When women talk about marriage, it's a happy occasion. I'm getting married, I got my ring, I got my colors picked out, I got four of my fat friends to stand next to me. It's gonna be a beautiful day. No, their dress is ugly, mine is pretty. But it's not the same for the men. When men talk about marriage with our friends, it sounds like something you get diagnosed with. Did you hear what happened to Charles? No, what? He's getting married. No! I just seen him last week. When did he find out? She told him yesterday at dinner.
Is there anything that we could do for him? No, the invitations already went out. There's nothing we can do.
Get out there and make it a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.